The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Quickly, I want to share something very important. I'll be teaching, and I know some people will get it, because I want to be sharing from biblical perspective, and what will help you in this season of trial. Amen? When God declares something, He wants you to work it out practically. Most times people believe that God has no strategy. There's a time God told me, He said, Ben, I have strategy in place. Nobody has come to ask me. How come I took Moses out of Egypt without him going through the same route he came? God is a master drama artist. He's a master of drama. How many of you took the shortest possible route to this place from your house? Lift up your hand. If you took the shortest possible route, which route did you take? Straight road. That's not the shortest possible route. The shortest possible route is to fly here. And some of you think it's not possible. That's why you did not say it. The shortest possible route is not what you do. Go and ask Philip. He took the shortest route. And that's what you will do this year. In Isaiah 49 verse 6, the Bible says, indeed, it says, it's too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Say, I'm light.
I'm light.
One day, one of our family members posted and said, I illuminate. And somebody said, what have you joined? I want you to declare and look at the person eyeball to eyeball. Say, I illuminate.
I illuminate.
Yeah, the Bible says you are the light of the world. And that means you shine. And nobody lights a candle and put it under a bushel. You must put it on top of a lampstand to give light. Somebody say light.
Light.
Today I want to talk about hosting the thriving culture. You are a host that hosts the thriving culture. Come, if you want to clap, go ahead, clap. Be generous with your clapping. I'm not sure you are paying to clap. And maybe this way got it first. Come on, clap for the Lord. Hosting the thriving culture. I said, I have called you, I have made you salvation, and I also want to showcase you as salvation to the ends of the world. The Hebrew writing, they always write the light stuff and the heavy stuff. In Isaiah 49 verse 6, the light stuff was, I will make you salvation. The heavy stuff is that you are going to be salvation to the ends of the earth. That means I'm going to display you. So when Jesus came, Jesus wasn't talking to people who already believed in him. He was talking to people because programmed into every person is the hunger for significance. Is the hunger to make a difference. Every one of you here want to make a difference. You want your name to be remembered. You want to leave a legacy in this world. And I believe that God is calling us to thrive, because you know what? The template is always to be on earth as it is in heaven. God has called you to bring heaven's culture down here. And that's why when he said, when they asked him, teach us to pray, he said, You should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven has a system of governance. God, bring that type of governance here. A governance where there is no greed, a governance where the electorates know what to do and how to vote, what they need to do, that nobody needs to tell them what to do. They just have that culture. Once you are born again, you are saved. But also, it's not only the final point. I want to show you as a salvation to the rest of the world. Let your life be a living epistle. People should look at your life and it will become a living epistle. They will read you. That's so Apostle Paul was writing to the Gentiles. He said, let your life. You are the Bible that somebody will read. Somebody may never read the Bible, may never open Genesis to Revelation, but looks at your life every way. The way you do family, the way you do parenting, the way you treat your colleagues, the way you treat those that work under you, the way you run your business, and they are wondering what is going on inside of you. May your life become a living epistle this season. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We must be committed to bringing salvation, thriving culture to earth. We must be committed. Salvation is not about going to heaven. Listen, family must be saved. Governance must be saved. The way we do business must be saved. It may shock you, education must be saved. Education must be saved. The media must be saved. There are some news that it's good news, but the mainline media will not carry it. Why? It won't sell. And the Bible says, joy to the world. The greatest news we should carry is the one that will bring great joy. May you be the carrier of that. Amen. How can we be light to our world? How can we be light to our world? You see, when God delivered the children of Israel, they were like a template. Abraham did not do anything to become a Jew. He only believed God and followed him. And we are the seed of Abraham. The moment I give my life to Christ, I have become a Jew. When the Israelites stood in Mount Sinai, and my wife was saying that this morning, and God began to tell them about the Ten Commandments and giving them the rules, the laws. I'm not sure they were going and saying, no, that's Old Testament. Don't come and give us rules and regulation. They were happy. Why? A bunch of slaves. You were telling them, you can take one day off. Where they were coming from for 430 years, there was no day off. A bunch of slaves, you are telling them you are not supposed to sleep with an animal. Why? Why would God say you are not supposed to sleep with an animal? Because your slave master can come. Or to entertain his friend, he can tell you to sleep with the dog. Thou shalt not steal. When they were hearing that, you mean that I can own property and nobody can come to my house and collect it. Because we can own now. We are not properties. The moral codes were given to us. And so, in Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 to 41, the Bible says, again, God spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels in the corners. Tell them to make tassels in the corners of their garment throughout their generations. And to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corner. I underlined some things, and I'm going to show you some things that many of us, it's a symbol. I'm not telling you to do it, but I'm trying to make you, to show you some things, how you can begin to operate in the supernatural naturally. In the tassels of the corners, and it said in verse 39, it said, and you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. Somebody say, do them. Amen. All the commandments of the law. You must understand the commands of the law, or there's something. Every time you see law there, most times people think that it is sin and death. No, there is the Torah and the Nomos. The Torah is the commands of God. The Nomos is the law of sin and death. The Torah is the summary statement of how you should live your life. It's the summary statement of the different laws that govern the universe. But the Nomos is what we have been delivered from. Christ has delivered us from this law of sin and what? The law of sin and death. Apostle Paul said, the thing I want to do, I find myself not doing it. The very things I don't want to do, that's where I find myself doing. He said, now I understand there is something working in my members. And what's working in my members? The law of sin and death. He said, thank God, in Romans chapter 8, I have discovered another law. The law of the spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. You have been set free. Amen. Oh, you didn't say it loud and clear. I said you have been set free.
Amen.
And that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. And what was God saying then? He said, you are going to get a blue, you are going to sew something at the tassels of your garment. And what is this tassels? The tassel speaks about healing in his wings. He said, the son of righteousness. I brought a talit here today. And somebody gave me this talit in 2005. And you must understand what the talit signifies. The talit is a replica of the big veil that covers the holy place from the holies of holies. It's a replica. When the Bible says that Apostle Paul was making a tent, this was what he was making. There was a time he said there's a woman leader, Lydia, that deals with the purple dye. There is a fish that actually, it started coming back again in the sea, disappeared. That fish has a dye inside of it. It's a purple dye. But when you put it in cloth, it becomes blue. So the Jews thought of it as the covering of God's presence. So they thought of this clothes. So do you see them? You see them in the Wailing Wall. I'm not saying you should go and buy this thing because I'm trying to explain something. Because some of you are looking at it, seeing this is juju. No. Most times that's why I don't bring it out. Because it's not about something, but it's to show you some things and to show you how Jesus operated and how you will operate by keeping this thing in your heart. Somebody say, in my heart. It is used for the wedding night. So when the Jewish person finish the wedding, they don't celebrate. They go, when they join them like this, they don't celebrate. Because behind the person that joins them is the bridal chamber. Speaking about, it says like a bridegroom coming out of his bridal chamber, preparing to run his course, the son. Why? Because the bridal chamber, the groom has come out happy. Because why? He has consummated the marriage. So when they finish the joining, they go into the room. And they consummate the marriage. And they bring out the sheets. And how do they consummate the marriage? They take this thing. That's why you see sex out of marriage is a deadly thing. They bring four posts. Can I get four men? You know those days we have that bed that has four legs?
Yes.
So they will tie the talit on each of the stand. And they will consummate the marriage underneath the presence of God. Why? Because this is the tassels. This is the tassels. Very significant thing we are going to do tonight. And see how Jesus operated very well. There are many of you. You are supposed to be thriving, but there are some things stopping you. Some of you are so afraid of the devil. You have more theory of the devil than of God. You believe in satanic attack more than Jesus protect. And when they tell you that the devil has a plan, thank you very much. The devil has a plan for you. You know what you will do? You will go into fasting. But when they tell you that God has a plan for you, you say amen, no? We have been hearing this thing for too long. Every time you believe a lie, you empower the liar. So what does the talit? The talit has these tassels. And this tassels has five knots. This tassels also have four spaces between the knots. This tassels, to make a tassel, you have to make it. Maybe you can get it closer. You have to make 613 loops representing the commands of God in the Old Testament. This talit has eight of these strands. It comes out. If you count it, I can call somebody to count it. It is eight. Eight talks about new beginning. And this eight divides into four heads. And these four heads, one of them within the four is blue. So you have three in one. The Trinity. So what does the five knots signify? The five knots signifies the five books of the Bible. The Torah, speaking about the word of God. in that the four spaces here represent the name of God. In Hebrew is called Yod Heh Vaveh. Meaning that the word, the name of God is the bread. The very bread. That's why I can, when he told Abraham, I'm El Shaddai. Abraham knew him like that. But when he was coming to Moses, he said, tell them, I am. The 630, the four spaces represent the name of God. So you carry the word of God, the name of God. 613 speaks about the ways of God. God has a way. When you repent, you go back to God and his ways. 8 stands for new beginning. The old has passed, the new has come. Verse 2 is the Trinity. 3-in-1, the nature of God. So what do they do? As they are going, they wear this thing in their hands and they tie it to their hands. That means that anywhere I go, I carry the name of God, the word of God, the ways of God, the grace of God. I carry the nature of God. And as long as I bind it to my hand, what do you do when your hand is tied to something? If your hand is tied to your tassels and your wife insults you, you must understand that if you wrap yourself with these 5 things, then you can host the thriving culture and bring salvation or heaven to earth. And so what do? They go into their closet. They wear the garment. So when they say they go into their closet, it's not you enter a room. This is the presence of God. So you go around with the presence of God. You go around with the word of God. You go around with the ways of God. You go around with the name of God. You go around with the grace of God. You go around with the nature of God. And you bind them in your hands. And you go forward. I'm not saying go and buy this thing because I don't even use it all the time. I keep it somewhere to remind me of the commands of God. Listen, the commands of God in 1 John chapter 5 is not grievous, it's not burdensome. They are weapons of warfare. The Bible says the weapons of warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. The weapons of our warfare. The weapons of our warfare. One of your warfare is the name of God. One of your warfare is the word of God. One of your warfare is praise and worship. One of your warfare is declaration. You declare what heaven is saying. This is the year of the mouth. Anything that is not striving around you, receive striving right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, when you have these tassels in your hand, go back to the slide. When you have these tassels in your hand and your wife insults you, that means that for you to slap her, you have to unwrap your hand. Where have you unwrapped your hands? Where have you pulled the presence of God and say, I will slap you? Well, most times we want to thrive outside the presence of God. Pastor Peter read from the Message Bible. He said, in Eden you have been replanted. Eden speaks about the presence of God. If you are in the presence of God, every year you bring fruit. Every month you will bring fruit. Your leaf will never wither. Why? He said they planted the garden in east of Eden. Eden speaks about, and that's where the water of life comes. To water you constantly. You are being replanted. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 to 7, it says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord your God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Let me tell you, when you wrap yourself with the presence of God, you wrap yourself with the word of God, you wrap yourself with the name of God, you wrap yourself with the ways of God, you wrap yourself with the grace of God and the nature of God, you know what will happen? You will be full of mercy. Gracious. Am I making sense? And so every time you want to interpret the Bible, the Jewish has a one form of interpretation. Is this interpretation having the disposition of the Messiah? And what is the disposition of the Messiah? Is gracious, abounding in love. One of your greatest weapons in the season, in the year of tribe, is love. If you fight with love, you will always win. Always. You may not win immediately, but you will win in the end. And that's what Anoswajiniga will say, I'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be back. You'll be back. You'll be back for your stuff. And when God restores it back to you, he won't restore it back to the place it went. It was taken. Restoration in the kingdom is not to the original. That's why the Bible calls you a new creation. A new creation says a model that I've never been seen before. And that's who I am. And that's who you are. Somebody shout a good amen. I say, somebody shout a good amen. Example in the Bible where this thing was used. The Bible said in Mark chapter 5 verse 21 to 40. It's a long read. It said, now when Jesus has crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Understand this, he was going somewhere. He was going somewhere. And begged him earnestly and said, my little daughter lies in the point, at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So Jesus, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Has a flow of blood for 12 years and has suffered many things from many physicians. She has spent all that she has had and was not better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, he came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power has gone out of him, turned around the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Somebody say, who touched me? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude struggling you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what has happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridicule him. But when he had put them all aside, outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talit hakum. Talit hakum. Which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately, the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should say know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, he said, but you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stuffing. So when the woman knew that this was the Messiah, the Bible said the Son of Righteousness shall arise. The word of God. The name of God. The ways of God. The nature of God. The grace of God. The presence of God carries healing. And because of that, the woman should have come, as she was coming, should have been shouting, unclean, 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 so that everybody will give way. But she knew If this is the Messiah, then in his tassels, there is healing. The Bible speaking, concerning one of the prophetic word of our family. It said, 10 Gentiles. 10 people shall hold the skirt of somebody that is connected here and say, show me your God. They shall hold you. This was the same corner that David caught from Saul. And when they caught it, his authority was gone. And Saul said, you will be king in my place. May your authority not be stolen. Your authority cannot be stolen, but you can give it out. When you believe the lie, you empower the liar and you give him your authority. You will not be a subject to him. May that never happen in this year of thriving. Everywhere they have stolen the corners of your garment. Everywhere. May that be restored. So the woman, knowing this, understood that if I can just touch the corners, then I will be healed. All she needed to do was just to hold it like this and touch it. Everywhere you go this week, everything that was dead, that was not flowing well, will resurrect. Every time somebody that is unclean touches you, you'll become unclean. Understand that Jesus was going to Jairus' house. And Jairus' daughter was not dead. But when he got to the, along the way, they said the Jairus' daughter is dead. Understand this, that Jesus as a rabbi cannot go near a dead person. And so Jesus just announced to the people, I'm unclean. God is not afraid of your mess. He's coming to get you. Oh, you didn't hear? You didn't shout a good amen. I say he's coming to get you. When Adam sinned, who showed up? God. He said, Adam, where are you? They would have stopped him, but now Jesus is unclean to them. Because the woman with the issue of blood. Because normally, somebody that is unclean, when he comes near you, you have to put your hand at the back and step back. That means that for more than 12 years, that woman has not been hugged. Broken. Jesus does not wholly heal your physical body. He told the woman, go in peace. The real translation is go into peace. Go into shalom. That means that, you know what? The way they have treated you, don't treat other people the way they have treated you because you are not in peace. There are many of you this year. You will get into some shalom. You will get into the shalom of God. The people that hurt you, you are the one that will tell them it's okay. It's okay. For 12 years, this girl, this woman has not been hugged either by her husband. Maybe her husband has given her a divorce certificate. No child hugs her. No family member hugs her. She walks around and says, unclean. I don't know any person here that has been going around saying unclean. Some of you, you don't say it, but you say it by your mannerism. Nobody likes me. I'm unclean. I know nobody will give me anything. My own are good. How many of you would say that? Even if I lost, if I was listening to Tolu's testimony today, he said, hey, I will be pregnant, but I'm not sure tomorrow. Where have you postponed your breakthrough? Where have you stopped thriving? Go into peace. You will go into peace in this season. I say you will go into peace in this season. Jesus went to the woman. Went to the little girl's house. After telling her to go in peace, he said, well, I'm still going to be unclean. They wouldn't have allowed him, but he was unclean now. He entered the house. Because the rabbi always ties this thing in the hand. The Bible says he grabbed the little girl's hand. With the presence of God. The word of God. The name of God, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. With the grace of God, number of new beginning, the nature of God, Trinity, it cannot be broken. He came with that, and the Bible says, grabbed her hand. The Bible says, anything you touch, and you shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Why? Prophetically, you are carrying the presence of God. You are a host. You host the virus called the presence of God. You are a host. You come into a business. You come into a governance. And there is life. The little girl was not feeling fine. You will take Nigeria by the hands and say, Talitha, come. You will take Benin City by the hand and you say, Talitha, come. You take Africa by the hand because you have the word of God, the presence of God, the nature of God. You don't know who you are. You carry the grace, the ways of God. You listen. You must strive. You must strive. You must strive. The Bible says every month, Psalm 1 verse 3, you will bring out fruit. You will bring out fruit every month. And your leaf, none. Talitha kum. You will go to that woman in the house and say, Talitha kum, receive your baby. Receive your baby. Receive your baby. You will release the presence of God this year. The Bible says that at the sound of your voice, they shall come out from their hiding places. There is something that many of you do not know about yourself. You are a host. You do great things. Listen, he said, go in peace. Jesus did not only heal her body. He healed her emotionally. You have been made whole. The scars on your body can show in your soul. The rejection, they rejected you in the womb. That they say, I don't need a girl, I need a boy. Has been walking around. And I say, go in peace. The Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. The same way they rejected you, you will go to that same place and you accept them. I just prayed for somebody. Because there are two sins that God will not forgive. The one of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And the second one, should I tell you? Unforgiveness. The reason why many of us are not thriving, we carry load. Basket of unforgiveness. Trailer load. Of unforgiveness. You can't thrive. The Bible says, lay aside the weight. When you genuinely forgive, you become light. He said, woman, go. Don't allow the people you meet now pay for the sins of those that mistreated you. There are many of you last year, people mistreated. They treated you badly. He said, as you are going now, some people did not hug you. Your husband divorced you. You are going to meet another husband. Don't allow the new husband. You are going to get a new job. You are going to start a new business. Don't allow your new employees to suffer the same fate that you suffered in the hands of others. You are going to come into a new environment. You host the thriving culture. When you wrap this thing in your hands and you are driving in the road, because your hand is tied to it, when somebody insults you, you can't say like this because it's tied. When your wife does not cook the food for you, the reason we are not thriving is that we are not bound to the word of God, the name of God, the grace of God. The ways of God, the nature of God, and the presence of God. You are supposed to be in the closet 24 hours. One of the sickness, one of the virus you should not allow to go. Even if they want to deliver, you refuse. The presence of God. Where at destruction, you will laugh. I know that person rejected you. Get back to the slide. They rejected you. But don't allow your new friends to suffer. Sometimes when I see people around me who have no relationship with their father, I know very soon I will soon pay. When I see people around me who were dealt by their previous pastor, I know very soon. I came to tell you, go in peace. Go into peace. Go into shalom. Go into shalom. Go into shalom. If I treat my wife the way I was treated before I met her, there are many of you. You had that prenomination. You had that vengeance. You made that decision. And that girl that came into your life that would have been your wife suffered. One person. I want to pray for some persons tonight. Pastor Peter just activated. He said, you are replanted. Some of you need to be replanted. Go back to the rock where you are hewn. Do you know what stops us from carrying the presence of God? You know what stops us from adhering to the word of God? You know what stops us from holding on to the name of God? The ways of God. 613 loops make one tassel. To remind them that there are 613 rabbinical laws in the scripture. They are not laws like that. They are ways. His ways. In Mark chapter 13, we see two things that stops us. What stops you? What stops you? In Mark chapter 13 verse 22, talking about the parable of the sower. There are four types of soils. The hard one. The rocky one. The one with thorns. And the one that's a good ground. What brings about harvest? The type of soil and the seed. In verse 13, in chapter 13 and verse 22, it was talking about the seed that fell among thorns. It says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this word and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes, he stops striving. There are two things that will make you unwrap your hand from this thing. The first one, the worries of this life. The worries of this life. This is what will make you not to be present when your wife is talking to you. Like now, you are not present, some of you. That's when anybody does that, I will slap you there. You are not present. It's not you that reacted. The worries of this life. You're always worried What will tomorrow bring? What will tomorrow bring? It is of all. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayers and supplication, and not added with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18, it says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, in one word, be joyful, pray, thanks. Become a joy activist. A generous thanksgiver. And a prayer warrior. Not even become a prayer warrior, become prayer. Because everything about you prays. Your action prays. Your thought prays. Your speaking prays. Your movement prays. That's why when I come to church, I dance like a child. Because my movement is a prayer. Somebody dance for somebody on, dance in front of somebody in a wheelchair, and the person in the wheelchair stood up. Because movement is prayer. I don't want to be walking like this. Wake up. You must walk like a son. And you must have a smile. Our face for this country too hard. The worries of this life. Last night when we finished, I started sleeping on the chair. Because sleep does not harden me. I sleep. I don't fall asleep, I go to sleep. I'm intentional. Sleep is a gift from God. He that keepeth Israel, so that I can sleep. The worries of this life. What if they collect my house? What if the child dies? What if this one happens? What if it happens? And nobody ever tells you, what if you have so much money that you need an accountant to help you check the money? What if there's a load of blessing that will hit you tonight? Bah! And you slept a debtor and woke up a very wealthy person. What if? Why do you think of what if as a worst case scenario? I remember when my wife was in the hospital and she gave birth. I saw the baby, prayed over the baby, declared over the baby, and the next time she saw me was evening. Was I happy? Yes. Before, was I happy? Yes. He said, you were not bothered, no. He said, is this happiness? I'm just happy in a new way. Which leads to the next one. Not only worries, the deceitfulness of riches. If I have this, then I will be happy. If only I can just have a child. I remember my wife. Every day I still remind her. God has blessed us. We thank God. No problem. But this child will leave us. He will start his own family. You know, my wife actually wanted to resign as pastor. God has blessed me. All my enemies. Shame to bad people. Shame to bad people. Shame to bad people. Now you now have a job. You still are not happy. Now you bought the car. You still are not happy. You have a brand new wife, brand new husband. No happiness. If only. If only. If only. If only. If only we make you unwrap your hands from this. Then you will see a fraud. You will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Can I say something to you? In my own life, I've not conquered all this in every area of my life. We're a work in progress. Some of you have conquered it in your marriage, but you have not conquered it in finances. So don't look at that person and say, he's talking to you. No, look at yourself. Which area of my life I'm not thriving? Because you see, as you thrive, you are supposed to make others thrive. You are supposed to come to a place and tell them, if only I can be married. That's what you said 3 years ago. Now you are married. If only this man can stop asking for sex every day, I'll be happy. Uche spoke in the reposition and said, when she was giving me all the statistics, he said, at 24, I'll be married and everything. And I asked innocently, what if you are not married then? She got angry. She bind me. I lose myself. She bound me. I lose myself. If she was married at 24, how would she go to South Africa? Which husband will allow you to go for 1 year? Maybe, maybe not. Where you are, enjoy your life. You lost your marriage, so? God said, I hate divorce, eh? But in another part, he said, because of your sin, I divorced you. Am I telling you to go and divorce? He told them. He said, don't marry Gentiles, stone prostitute. Uzziah came and said, God said I should marry a Gentile prostitute. If Uzziah was your pastor. Do you know Uzziah died as a false prophet? But you are reading the book now. Listen. Do you know why you are not, you are removing your hand from this tassel? You want to be among the popular side. Some people will tell you, they will bring some secular theology. Theology that does not have God, but is very popular. Because you want to have followers. You begin to agree. You say, my guy, you unwrap your hand. Can you stay when nobody is saying the same thing? I remember many years ago, they would tell us, God has helped us. Rise up on your feet. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace. And bring people into peace. I'm saying it loud and clear. Go in peace. Go in peace. Bring people into peace. The woman with the issue of blood, Jairus' daughter. One touched the tassels. The other one was touched by the tassels. There's a touch. And many of you will live here tonight. And you will walk through your neighborhood. Things that were dead will start thriving. You walk into your house, things that were dead will start thriving.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805 1028 787 or 0706-969-6499, or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.